Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Brought to you by Drake Street Studios.
Good morning, Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Konnichiwa.
You're alluding to something here, Kirsten.
Yes. So we're doing Japanese city pop today, and what a story it's going to take us on. I'm wondering if you want to start the first track we can just have a little listen.
We're starting without with Plastic Love?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Smooth. Smooth now, like your morning coffee.
Now, Kirsten, when you sent through this list, I had a moment and I thought, I know nothing about Japanese pop. But I tell you what, this list of songs, there are some bangers.
Now, this is the big one. So this is 1984, Maria Takeuchi, and when it came out in 1984, back in the day, it only went to number 86 in Japan and only sold 10,000 copies. But here's where the story gets interesting. Some weird YouTube algorithm thing, I don't know enough about these things to know exactly what happened, but once it got uploaded into YouTube in 2020, it just took off. And especially fan remixes, people using it in mixes, people using it for little clips, right? TikTok. It became the best-selling analog single in Japan in 2022.
Oh my gosh, it's got enormous numbers on Spotify.
Yeah, so it's just this weird story of a song just, you know, like decades later.
Yeah, having a second life.
And that's why you can't just blame the YouTube algorithm, right? Like, they're blaming that. But I'm like, no, it's human beings somehow. They call it an invisible hit because no one was like purposely promoting it. Yeah, I think in 2021, it was up to like 67 million YouTube. This is on YouTube, right? Because where else are you? YouTube views.
Well, how do you explain it, Kirsten? Is there any rhyme or reason? Is it just people's ears are suddenly ready for the song? Were the people that made it at the time just like, this is a massive hit. I can't believe no one's listening to it.
Well, look, if we could explain it, we'd be millionaires. But I think because people are weird and interesting and just this weird way people act that is unpredictable, which is, I guess, why the music world is so interesting. Oh, yeah, it's the guitar solo.
I'll just turn it up for everyone. Sorry, people out there listening. I'll give you a bit more song. So 80s.
Now you can picture the videos. It's maybe a raining city street at 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm picturing.
Yes.
Shiny but dark. City life, nightlife, city streets, skyline. I don't know if people... There's a thing back in the 80s called yuppies.
Yes.
young up-and-coming urban professionals. And people had... Walkmans.
Cassette
tapes. Stereos.
Cassette tapes.
Yeah, so you could walk around with your music. And one commenter said, it's not so much a genre as a vibe classification, which I thought was excellent.
Definite vibes on this one.
Now, go ahead.
Where are they taking their inspiration from in Japan? Is there just an enormous scene there that was just bubbling away?
Well, yeah, this was there at the time. They called it new music. This was just there, like, hey, let's copy some American pop and make our local music, right? Or it became J-pop. So it's just part of the journey, Japanese new wave, and then it eventually became J-pop. It also influenced things called like Canto pop, sort of the other Asian countries saying, can we do this music, kind of make it our own? Then it died. It was considered cheesy and mainstream and no one liked it. but it kind of bubbled around in the 90s with video game music and anime.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, then in the 2010s and stuff, Vaporwave samplers started using it, and it just... That combined with this amorphous word, I'm going to say YouTube algorithm, brought it back.
Yes. That's a bloody good song. Now, what's next, Kirsten?
Okay, this is Hiroshi Sato, Say Goodbye, 1982.
Oh, it seems so long ago. They still sound so fresh.
And if you want to buy it, you can also buy it on pastel blue vinyl.
Okay. Has it just had a recent reissue?
Yeah. For the vocoder, enthusiasts.
I feel like vocoder is back on trend. And say goodbye. I'm gone. To me, this almost sounds Italian.
Yeah, you definitely get that lens of this. They've taken American funk, which then was already watered into, what do you call it, AOR, adult contemporary, adult oriented radio, soft rock, you know, so, and then filtered again through another lens going into their, you know, the country and the artists there.
Now, what can you tell us about Hiroshi?
So he sadly passed away, and so he's not around now for this sort of revitalization. He hired, you know, like a guest guitarist for this jam and a guest vocalist. So he's the music creator, is Hiroshi. Right now, I didn't see any mention of the piano solo, but this is boom. I'm liking the fretless bass. Oh no, it's an electronic version, but it still sounds awesome.
So this is another track sort of experiencing a second life?
Yeah. Now what you're supposed to be hearing is melancholy, shiny plastic surfaces, confusion, yearning, loneliness. But I hear a lot of joy and fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also hear a lot of joy. That was the first thing that sprung to my mind.
Yeah, because even the nostalgia is still, it's more fun rather than that sort of longing, you know, longing for an older time. Sometimes nostalgia has. This is just sort of happy.
Kind of.
Some of those weird... beautiful harmonies, you can kind of hear the original African-American sort of funk, but then what do you filter through Bee Gees and then you know, passing through various countries to get to this, and now passing back everywhere globally.
I'm getting like a slower loungy disco vibe.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Bee Gees. Who were what, weirdly three Australian brothers that broke disco, which had been this very codified, very specific New York music, into becoming, you know, global, but it was the gateway for a lot of,
The Bee Gees have about 500 records before they did a disco record.
Yeah, they weren't disco people, you know, they were sort of brought in for that, and then they end up bringing us through, and for some reason they got hired for the movie Saturday Night Fever. But so this third track, 4 a.m., Taiko Onuki.
Ooh, some dreamy flute on there.
Oh, we love it. Jazzy flute. 1978.
Oh, we're going back further in time.
Yes. She's 70 years old now, and she's alive to sort of see this resurgence.
Oh, that must be, it must feel so good.
This one, you're getting the full 1970 sort of band, right? And when you had a full band in your disco.
Oh, traveling from Tokyo. She was quite successful around the time of these original releases.
Yeah, but then phase off. I have this line here that this is to explain to you what she's talking about. In the stillness of the morning, she contends with her conflicted feelings of continuing to meet with someone she shouldn't.
Ooh. Wow.
We've all been there. And I think this one, it's through TikTok it's become popular. Again, it sounds strange, like, oh, through TikTok. Well, what? What TikTok? What's happening?
Yes. You know? What do these videos look like on TikTok?
Yeah. Is it being used in clips? Are people picking up on it? Is somebody just created one? Like, I'm not exactly sure the whole story. But just such, I guess it's also the story of how the technology and human beings are just this, the speed with everything's changing, you know? It's just hard to keep up with how these things are going, but we've got music, we've got great music to listen to, and it's circulating and we're happy.
Yes. Now this still sounds pretty futuristic to me. At the time it must have sounded pretty pretty amazing.
Futuristic. But you're right, it sounds very today, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're right. And imagine, you know, jamming in the band with this.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it'd be so fun. Oh. If I could play instruments, I can imagine this would be my favorite thing to play.
Oh, the bass is just having a good time.
On her Spotify, there's a photo of her, which is obviously quite recent. And she looks stoked. She looks so stoked. Fair enough.
Oh, I wonder if she's done any recent live singing. I mean, if she's still got the chop, or has her voice dropped down an octave? You know, like what happens?
Now, what else can you tell us about this genre? Is there any other tidbits for the listeners that you found particularly fascinating when you looked into Japanese pop?
Well, you know, this is the other thing, and I talk about this sometimes in the show, is listening to music in another language, you know?
Yes.
It just kind of, it's not that lyrics don't matter, because they do, and we've got awesome pop lyrics and stuff, but it can, you know, it doesn't matter sometimes. We can still sort of hear what she's saying and what she's trying to convey through the music. You know, like, I don't know, are people looking up the lyrics and trying to sing along? Because, if you know, this is going to be in your head now for the rest of the day. And do you have to look up so that you can be pronouncing it? But, I mean, what a great band. And what a journey that this music has gone from, you know, via other genres, you know, like AOR and Vaporwave, video game music, you know, so it's not even... Well, I guess that's why they're saying it's not a genre anymore.
This one really ramps up and it's getting pretty funky.
I know.
Shred down.
I mean, you even think of the word viral, right?
Yes.
You know, like, we all know what it is, but I don't know exactly what it is as far as, you know, the technology, the sales, how they're capturing these things.
Yes.
These fragments that float around. I guess that's why you have the word meme as well, because it's about fragments. But yeah, I hope she's getting paid, or the artists are getting paid, or maybe just in recognition.
I also have no idea how that works, Kristen, with, you know, using songs on your Instagram post or your TikTok video. Yeah, I hope there's some sort of mechanism.
I mean, they are, and they're catching up, and they're constantly running to try to catch up. And that's why I'm wondering if, you know, by releasing these without a lot of rules attached to them, allows them to then float free and easier.
Yeah.
But then I don't know if then you're sacrificing getting any payment from it. I'm not sure. It's just all so fast. It's sort of like almost no one's sure, you know.
Yes.
Record labels for sure are just running you know, behind trying to catch up.
Yeah. Hey, Kirsten, thank you so much for a very fascinating edition of Travelling Tunes. We'll shout out Drake Street Studios.
I hope some of you have an awesome weekend going down the Japanese city pop rabbit hole.
Excellent. All right, mate, we'll check in with you next Friday.
All right, bye.
Thank you, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Brought to you by Drake Street Studios.